Thank you, April. The Aussies currently 2 for 10 early going in that Ashes test. Elise Perry and Rachel Haynes at the wicket at the moment. Haynes 6 not out. Perry 1 not out. Now, someone that's working on the broadcast for Channel 7, as well as our own Andy Marr, is Trent Copeland. But Trent's not even the best sports person in his own relationship. The real star of the relationship is Kim Green, wife of Trent Copeland, who is an OAM after the fantastic things she's done both on and off the netball court. And she joins us this morning. Kim, first of all, congratulations. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
What does it mean to you? When did you find out you were getting the OAM, and what was your initial reaction?
Oh, I found out a few weeks ago. But a few months ago, I got told I was nominated, which I was completely shocked that someone even nominated me. And then, yeah, you just need to, I guess, go through everything that they've written about you and if it's true or not. And then, yeah, I didn't think, I actually forgot about it completely. And then I was on a walk with my son Lennon and got an email, saying that I had been awarded an OAM. And I'd like to be honest, I was shocked. I was really surprised, honoured, obviously, but also just very shocked.
So obviously, you know, there's a lot of self-satisfaction in an award like this or an honour like this, but who else are you sort of pleased for that's been along for the journey when you awarded something like this?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a really great time to reflect back on your career and, you know, I only retired a couple of years ago and so much has happened since then. But you sort of look back and think about all the people that allowed you to succeed at that level. And my family, first and foremost, you know, they were so supportive of me from a young age. My brothers and sisters, pretty much not having mum around while she was driving me everywhere, the sacrifices they made to allow me to continue to do what I did. And but yeah, then you look at the grassroots level and the amount of volunteers that every day, you know, are down there hustling to make sure that, you know, netball continues to roll around every Saturday for every young, you know, female and male that plays netball. So yeah, for me, it was a really nice recognition, but yeah, I think of all the other people that have been able to get me where I, to allow me to succeed at that level and be in my corner. It was pretty special.
And you're putting back into the sport now, as well as your commentary. Your head coach for North Shore United in the New South Wales Premier League. What does it mean to you to go back and give something? That's obviously a very, very good level of netball as well, but how much are you enjoying that?
Yeah, I'm loving it. I got the call up 3 months postpartum last year when Beck Bully, who also plays for the Swifts and for the Diamonds, ended up being the Swifts assistant coach. So I got a great opportunity. I knew that the team was brilliant already and a really lovely team. And for me, going into the coaching space, that was the first thing I'd done, and gone straight into Premier League with a team that had won the year before was pretty special. And they are an incredible team. To be honest, they could coach themselves and win the whole thing. So I'm really fortunate to have some really great players there and that are also supportive of my commentary and things that I do outside of sport. Not outside of sport, but outside of just coaching them. So yeah, it's been really nice to give back to the sport in some way, but also find a passion in that space. I've always loved the tactical side of the sport, and that's where I sit in the commentary team, is in that tactical and pulling apart the game and understanding why teams are doing what they're doing. And yeah, that's been something that I've really loved to be able to implement in that coaching space.
You mentioned the tactical side of the game there. Is netball, like a lot of the other professional sports, that's getting more tactical as the years go on, or is it sort of not stayed the same, but is it still a fairly simple game, or is it getting more and more complicated to play and coach?
Oh, it's definitely getting more complicated. You know, coaches and players are always trying to find a way to get that edge on their competitors, and that's not just based on their fitness and strength. So A lot of tactics have changed from when I first started to where it is now. And the players are having to evolve and adapt each year to bring in, also the likes of some new rules in the Super Netball. There's a super shot, but at the international level there isn't. So being able to adapt is something that the players have had to learn really quickly, and for us to continue to build our sport and to get some more, eyeballs on the TV and people at the games, it's really important that we keep evolving and keep making it a really fast and strong but physical game that it's always been. So, yeah, the tactics have definitely changed, and I look forward to seeing where they go from here.
You mentioned the super shot. It sort of divides opinion. Where do you sit on it?
It does. For mine, I look at it from a commercial point of view, and I think it's a great addition to the game. I don't think it really changed much for a lot of players that play in that goal attack position. The long bombs have always been something that has been part of our game, but to be rewarded with 2 points for a super shot has definitely changed score lines, has made that, last 5 minutes of a quarter really intense for people to watch. As a viewer, when you're sitting there and watching it, you're always waiting for that last 5 minutes of a game of a quarter to see if a team can peg it back with a gun goal attack or a gun goal shooter that can shoot from anywhere. I think it has made the shooters have to be a little bit more versatile in what they do. So for mine, I really like the inclusion. One of the things that they did, a lot of people were concerned about, was the transition to the internationals. But as we've just seen, the Diamonds have come away with a quad series win against New Zealand, England and South Africa, who are the top nations. And I think that just shows that the Diamonds are pretty well ahead. So, yeah, I think we're doing the right thing.
Should it be brought in across all levels of the sport then? Can you see a time where it will be international and therefore it's at local level? And if we're going to bring in a rule, should we have it at all different levels of the sport?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's necessarily transparent with what has happened. I think, to be honest with you, a lot of players shoot from that. It's not that far out. When we first brought it in, I looked at it and was like, man, that's going to be so far out. But when you get to the courts, it's exactly where everyone will shoot from anyway. It's just a matter of that little bit of added pressure in the last 5 minutes of a quarter. So I have seen a lot of youngsters come in. You have a look at a Sophie Dwyer, who played her first year in the Suncorp Super Netball and was nailing it from everywhere. So she hadn't played the super shot before and then has come through and absolutely crushed it and gone into the Aussie Diamond squad because of it. She's only very young. So, yeah, I look at that and think, no, I don't think we need to implement that rule at junior level. But, I don't think it translates into the elite level.
Talking to netball superstar Kim Green, who was honoured with an Order of Australia medal yesterday. And Kim, it wasn't just yourself from a netball point of view. One of your former teammates, Catherine Cox, was also honoured. I'm assuming you must have been delighted for her as well.
Yeah. I spoke to Coxie yesterday and just an absolute legend of the sport. And I'm surprised both her and Liz Ellis don't have a gold statue in New South Wales somewhere, to be honest with you. And, the one thing that when I was told about my OAM, I was like, my goodness, if Catherine Cox doesn't get something this year, then I'll be so embarrassed because she's just a legend of our game. But for her to be awarded the AM is just rightfully deserved and where she should be. And she's been a great mentor and a great friend to me, and I look up to her every day. So, yeah, it's a very special award for her too.
You achieve so much in the sport, both at domestic level and playing for Australia. I mean, when you are honoured like this, it's a bit of a time of reflection, and you would have reflected when you retired as well. Is there one thing in particular you're most proud of from everything you achieved?
I think it was the little things behind the scenes that no one will ever see, you know, having the really hard conversations with CEOs or with the board, or you know, trying to make sure that players were looked after the way they should be. And I think that's where I look back and think, you know, it's the things that maybe you don't necessarily see, or the moments that you probably would never realise for an athlete, but the follow-on effect that that has, you can still see today. And I was taught at, you know, I was picked up at the age of 16 with the Sydney Swifts at the time, and Liz Ellis was my captain, and she made huge sacrifices to make sure that we as players were left in a better position when she left the sport. And that is all I knew, and that's all I expected from myself when I left the sport, was to leave in a better place. And by having those little conversations and, you know, sleepless nights over how we're going to tackle this with, you know, people that are going to make big decisions within our sport, that's what I'm most proud of, for sure.
Yeah, you certainly left it in a better spot than when you started. And just finally, your husband, of course, Trent Copeland, a fantastic cricketer, in his own rights, doing some great things on Channel 7. Now, he loves getting in front of that big TV. Does he practice at home? Does he just get there and try and explain things to you, or do you do the vice versa when the netball's on to him? How does it work?
It's funny. We definitely dissect games together whilst we're watching it, but I think he would love to get in front of the TV for the netball.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's just a sport nuffy. He will say it all the time, but he could stand there and talk about any sport. Like, you know, when people ask, oh, what's your 5-minute TED talk? Like, he would just be able to nail it on the sport. Just on the spot with sport. And with Channel 7 and everything that he's doing there, you know, he's a very cool, calm, collected person. And that is just something that he's so passionate about and could do it on the spot. So he's very good at what he does, and we're very proud of him. And he's often away, so we don't often get to see him over summer. But yeah, when he is home, he's definitely dissecting the netball on the side too.
I could imagine. He does a fantastic job, and I believe you're adding to the family very shortly, aren't we? Number two, not far away.
So, we've got about 10 weeks to go. So not long. We'll have two running around. But yeah, it's been a very full on couple of years with COVID and having a little newborn. But it's also been a really exciting time for our family. And looking forward to what the next year will bring.
Well, I'm a recent father of two. I can tell you're going to have your work cut out. It's busy. It's going from like one to about three, and the broken sleep will be back. So you got all that to look forward to, Kim.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. So anyways, but we'll just tackle it as we come.
That's right.
And we'll go from there.
One sleep at a time. Kim, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations again. A well-deserved honour yesterday. Enjoy, and great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much.